Welcome back, friends. Yes, Sarah was right that paring away, moments that pare away that which is extrinsic to ourselves is a very central, it's going to be a central moment here in this book. And it kind of has to be. At some point in the spiritual walk, there comes that kind of pruning. Our Lord talked about that, right? The pruning, or Paul, the chastisement. A father chastises his son, not because he's a sadist, but because he wants him to grow and mature. All right, the thesis statement. And this again, we're going to hear echoes of the mathematician and Father Philippe. We gain possession of our interior freedom in exact, and I have an emphasis in my notes, in exact proportion to our growth in faith, hope, and love. When a theologian, and absolutely Father Philippe is in that category of existence, of being, he's a theologian. When he uses exact or only or some sort of a all-encompassing type of a statement, he means exactly that. Okay, so if we want interior freedom, we will need to grow in faith, hope, and charity, faith, hope, and love. The over so this there are five chapters in this book, and those chapters are freedom and acceptance, accepting ourselves, suffering, and other people, the present moment, dynamism of the faith, of faith, hope, and love. Number four, from law to grace. We have echoes of Augustine here. Love is a free gift. Where the spirit rules, there is freedom. And then here, in a special way, is what Sarah perhaps was discussing, spiritual poverty and freedom. Pride is countered by mercy, or when we rely on Christ, we rely on God. So the truly free person has nothing left to lose, for they have only God. So there's that, as you were saying, the letting everything go and be God, as it were. Freedom and acceptance. So he goes right back, as often one needs to do in the religion, in spirituality. Why were we made? How were we made? What's our telos? Our origin and end, beginning and end. Why was humanity created? He will say to be lords over creation. And in this day of Green New Deal talk and all of that, that really comes off as a very bold statement. But what does he mean by being a lord? Before the fall, man exercised this lordship or greatness as he grew in understanding and love of God. Freedom was ordered toward beatitude and our happiness. Man freely loved God, his great good. And after the fall, the disordered harmonies resulted, the disorder of the interior of the person themselves, with God, with neighbor, and with nature, so creation. However, the thirst for happiness, freedom, and love remained, if not stained with concupiscence. Concupiscence is the inclination to sin within the heart of man. John Paul II defines love as a sincere gift of self. It's a disinterested movement for the gain of the giver. And then Father Philippe will quickly dismiss false definitions of freedom. And I'll note past shows where Sarah and I point out the same. But that's sort of before we go into the errors that Father wants to call our attention to. That's kind of the setup for this chapter.
Yeah, I think that it's always good, and this is maybe why there is such clarity there, is that he does not, he has the humility to begin at the beginning, right? He presumes nothing of the reader. And so, but he also does not, he's not pedantic in the sense that he speaks down to you. He's just putting things in their proper place so that when you move forward with his reading, you know, I mean, it's the old tell you what you're going to tell you, and then tell you what you told you a little bit, right? I mean, he does that, but not as an act of, you know, condescension, but rather as really as an act of mercy, bringing everyone, recognizing that that in that concupiscence, there is a lot that has been lost, and that man should never presume that the other knows something. You know, we should never make that presumption. It should always be an act of generosity to instruct in fullness. And he does that very, very concretely with how he begins with these definitions.
Yes, he does. All right. The first error he wants to consider is claiming autonomy or accepting dependence is how, sorry, true freedom is not what man attains on his own, but rather is a free gift from God. The more one sees themselves as a child of a loving father and relies on his providential care, seeking his will, the more one experiences freedom. It's not by us saying that we are on our own two feet. Is it the ragged individualism? That's not where freedom comes. Where does that end up usually? In suicide, in despair? Is that where, that's where Hemingway ended up, right?
Yep, well, so. Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that is one of the, I do think that this particular book can speak very, very concretely to the American mindset in a way that, where we need to be a little docile, right? We need to be willing to be instructed because our notions of freedom are often tainted by libertarianism, unfortunately, right? I mean, that we've almost embraced here in America not true liberty, but what he's going to talk about later on is licentiousness. And John Paul was very clear about that when he came to America also, when he said when he came to Denver, or maybe it was in Baltimore, but where he said, you know, freedom is not choosing what you want, but freedom is the ability to choose what you ought, right? The freedom to choose the good is what makes you free. If you can't choose goodness, then you're not free. Because our Lord even says that in the scriptures, you know, I set before you two paths. There's the path of good and the path of evil. But I'm telling you, choose good that you might live, right? So yes, there are these choices. And in America, we become, unfortunately, in the past, and I think it's kind of a novelty. I really think that it's really from 1950s on where we have become more consumerists than free, right? We're a consumption nation, not a free nation. And so Jacques Philippe really has something important to say to the American mind, that freedom is not a plethora of choices, right? Because when you choose evil, innocence suffers always.
Always. Always. All right, my friends, we're going to pick up with the next error. Until then, fides erratio.